Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Death by Stereo for our May movie night. I'm TJ.
Brent. Hi, Jet. We're going to go ahead and kick off the episode the way we always do with This Year in Horror. We picked 1996 for this episode. Just scrolling through the list, the top three that I see are all three that I'd say loosely consider classics in my opinion. Scream is the first one I see, which obviously RJ and TJ have a huge affinity for the Scream series. I had actually never seen Scream until we started doing movie nights, and TJ showed me the entire series all the way 1 to 4, so that was a nice treat to finally see it. Obviously, you guys have a lot of love for that series, and you guys saw it originally, so I'll let you talk about it a little bit if you want to. Or not.
I was waiting for him. I thought he was gonna talk about it.
Were we doing the podcast when we watched this?
No.
Okay.
We like briefly talked about it in like one of our episodes when we talked about all of the when we did the car cast and we talked about all the movies we watched before the podcast.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't know. We talked about maybe eventually one day doing a spotlight, but. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, the next one I see is The Craft from 1996, which I haven't seen that in a long time, but I would consider that kind of a classic. I mean, the film especially being centered around, you know, four women, and, like, they're the protagonist and antagonist, I guess. I mean, that's, I think that's kind of out of its time for 1996 a little bit, and I don't know, it's a fun movie, and it's got four hot chicks in it, I would say, so it was a good time. You guys both seen that?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
It's one I want to rewatch, especially because there was a Craft reunion at Horror Hound Weekend. Wasn't it in Cincy and in Indy, I think? I think they did it back-to-back, I thought. Or maybe it was just Cincy last year.
I remember, they had Nev and, what's her face? The one that plays Nancy. Yeah, they were at Cincinnati, and then, like, the rest of them were at Indy. So it was, like, half and half.
Okay.
Actually, Nev was at both, because she did the screen.
Yeah. Show. It may have been at another convention. I've seen pictures of people with all four, and I thought they all four came to Cincy, but maybe the other two dropped out. But I like that a lot. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's about four high school girls that turn into witchcraft. It's a lot of fun. The next one is First Dusk Till Dawn, which I love that movie. I know, TJ, you like that a lot as well.
Yeah, From Dusk Till Dawn is one of my favorite vampire movies. It's, like, such a fun time, and I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan, and it's just a blast.
It's just a good series, too. Like, I think there were, what, two sequels?
I don't know. I never bothered to watch any of the other ones.
I know there's at least two. There's one that's like an old Western, and then there's one that's like a modern time where there's like a bank robbery. I've seen that one, and I think it has Robert Patrick in it. He's like one of the main robbers. It's just it's a fun time. Have you seen Dusk Till Dawn, RJ?
I have not. I've heard of it, though.
I like when you say you have not seen something, because that just, a lot of times it's like really good classic movies, in my opinion, that like I want to show you and want to rewatch myself, so it's like two birds, one stone. So that's one that I think will definitely be brought at some point because it's a good time. RJ is a big Stephen King fan. Thinner is on here. I have not seen that movie. Have either of you?
No.
I have not.
Neither one of you. That's surprised. That's a rare one that's popular and well-known that none of us have seen. So. I know the premise of it. I think a guy gets cursed and ends up turns super thin or something until he dies or whatever, but I have not seen it.
I just thought it sounded kind of stupid. That's why I never watched it.
Yeah, I think Stephen King movies are hit or miss for me most of the time, to be honest, so I haven't seen it.
I was just going to say I would agree with that. I can't say that just because it's a Stephen King movie, something I'm gonna love.
Yeah,
really, just depends.
True. The Frighteners is one that I actually borrowed this from TJ a couple years ago because I think I'd seen bits and pieces and I never fully sat down and watched it. And it's got Michael J. Fox in it, and it was a good time. RJ, have you seen The Frightener?
I have not.
Okay. It's a call of horror comedy, right, TJ?
Yeah, and I feel like it's a good, like, intro to horror, too. It's kind of family-friendly. I don't know, I watched it a lot when I was a kid and liked it, so.
Yeah, it's not too scary. It's more fun. I would agree with that. But that's another good one. Bordello of Blood, that one is fun. That's got Corey Feldman in it, and it's essentially, it's like a Crypt Keeper movie, and it's about this, like, group of, it's like a brothel, and they're all vampires, I think, or something, the ladies are. I'm pretty sure. Have you guys both seen that? Neither one of you seen Bordello of Blood? Oh, shit.
I've seen Demon Knight, but not that one.
Okay, I'm going to add it to the list. That might be one I actually have to track down, because I've seen it a couple times and liked it. The Dentist is on this list, and actually, I was telling these guys off air that I was watching that documentary on Tubi, and it's called The 50 Best Horror Movies You've Never Seen, and I've been watching it over a couple of weeks' time. Like, it's not something I've sat down just and watched, you know, right in one time, but this was actually one of the lists, or one of the movies I added from the list that just sounded like a cheesy, fun time. I think it's about a dentist who, like, either finds his wife cheating on him, or he's like a normal guy, and then he snaps, and then he goes on a killing spree with his patients, which that sounds like a good time to me, so that's one I'm going to check out.
It's just okay, in my opinion.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah. I don't know, it's just alright.
That's a bummer. I'll still watch it, but now my expectations have been lowered. Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space is on here, and that is one of the worst sequels, in my opinion. I love the Leprechaun series, and I love the cheesiness of it and the goofiness, but it was even a lot for me to handle. It's a real piece of shit, in my opinion. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing it in Space, but go ahead.
The first couple were entertaining, but as they kept on going on, it just got to a point where this isn't even watchable anymore.
It got wonky, and it's funny because I like Leprechaun Back to the Hood more than the first one in the Hood, because it was more what I envisioned the Leprechaun being in the Hood would be. But I really like that series. It's just a good time. But, man, In Space is a real piece of shit. And I'll watch it again eventually just to get, you know, a second opinion on it. But, yeah, it was really out there, even for me. Do you guys see any on the list going down that you want to point out?
I see one of your favorite Hellraisers on the list.
Man, you know what's funny is I looked at that, and for everybody that doesn't know, because we had talked about this just, you know, in our group text or whatever, I had seen the original Hellraiser probably like 6-7 years ago, and really didn't think much of it. And I recently went back and rewatched the original, and then watched the second one, and I am officially not a fan of the Hellraiser series. It bores me. Like, I really don't like it. I don't see the point. I can appreciate, you know, the practical effects and, you know, the makeup and stuff, and I just think I'm not a big Clive Barker fan, is what I've come to realize, because I don't love his style and his storytelling style, and I don't know, it's just not really for me, which I think is controversial because I think he's a horror legend for sure, but I don't know, man. I started thinking about his movies and I was like, there's not one of them that I really love. So I guess Clive, I do not agree.
Well, in my opinion for Hellraiser would be exactly the same. I mean, the first time that I had seen bits and pieces of it before. The first time I actually watched it in full was one of TJ's movie nights.
Okay.
But I don't know. And I think we watched it again for didn't one of you pick it for one of our movie nights?
No.
I don't know. It's just I really like the you know, the costumes. Yeah, it's each one is interesting and different. That's what I really liked about them and appreciated. But with the storyline and everything, it's just it's hard to follow, and it's, I don't know.
I agree. They're not bad movies. It just the story doesn't catch my interest. Like, I don't know. I think the effects, especially in the first one, are really cool. Like, with Frank, like, coming back to life from this, like, goo monster to his, like, gross self, but I don't know, I just can't get into the storyline. It's just not, it's not for me, and I don't know that I want to go further, which is sad, because I like to really give most series, like, a full chance, but I don't know, I just don't think I can go farther. I don't know, I'd have to really be hard up for something to watch, I think, to watch any more of these, so just not for me. I see the Ghost in the Darkness on here. I wouldn't consider that horror. Have you guys seen and or heard of that?
Mm-mm.
No. It's a movie I would let you both borrow. It's got Val Kilmer and what was the guy that was married to Catherine Zeta-Jones? Michael Douglas?
Yep.
I think it was in like the early 1900s, and essentially they're building like a railroad in Africa, I think, and there's this man-eating lion that is terrorizing, like, the workers and, like, eating them, and so Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas get on to hunt it, and, man, it is a great movie, but I wouldn't consider it a horror. I mean, I guess you could maybe look at it like horror, sort of, but I wouldn't call it that.
It says adventure.
Yeah, it's more action, thriller, I don't know. It's very, very good, though. Anybody that hasn't seen it, I would highly recommend it. I would consider it horror.
There's one on here, I remember seeing the case at Family Video or something when I was walking through. It's called Pinocchio's Revenge.
I've not seen that.
I think it's a budget horror movie or something. But
No, I have not seen or heard of it. Well, I see it now, Pinocchio's Revenge. It's probably a piece of shit, but it could be fun. I wonder if it's like, are there previous Pinocchio movies, or is it just, like, this is, like, the first one in that line, you know what I mean? Because, like, usually if you look, like, Revenge or something on it, it's, like, the second or third movie.
I think it's the first one. I think it's, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I saw part of this, too.
Yeah, sure.
I might rewatch it now.
Check it out. There are two I've mentioned. Sometimes They Come Back Again. I think that's Stephen King. I think it's about like a small town, and this group of like teenagers like end up dying, and they were bullies or something, and this guy returns to his hometown, and the ghosts like haunt him. I remember liking it when I saw it, but it's been a long time, so I'd have to go back and check it out.
Jack Frost is on the list.
Is it? That came out in 1996?
Yeah, that was a movie I enjoyed.
We're not talking about the Michael Keaton one, right? We're talking about the one with where the girl gets raped by Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought that was later. And then Bad Moon. Have you guys seen that werewolf movie?
I have not.
TJ?
I don't know. I'm trying to find the list that you guys are looking at.
I'm going off of Wikipedia.
I just went to Google, but
I was on Google, but I wasn't seeing any like these ones that you guys are now talking about.
Bad Moon is one of the top searches, and I've seen that cover probably at the video store when I was a kid so many times, but I've never seen it.
I haven't. I just looked at it. I've never seen it.
Okay. Interesting. It stood up in a couple searches I did previously, so it could be one to check it out. I mean, I'm always willing to give a werewolf movie a chance, even though the novels I like aren't huge, but you guys see anything else you want to mention?
Nope.
There's a Tales from the Crypt movie on here.
Yeah, Brent already talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Cordell of Blood, yeah. That's
there's
one
only
that
two, that's why I know it was that one.
Well, the fact that you guys haven't seen that might be one that would be fun to track down, because I like that movie. Again, it's been a while since I've seen it, but it'd be fun to show you guys, because those Tales from the Crypt movies, I think, are always fun. So, well, cool. If nothing else, that was 1996 and this year in horror, so check out any ones you haven't seen. My pick was from this year as well, so I'll save that when we get into the movies, but RJ, if you want to kick things off for horror in real life, even though right now there are times of horror in real life before we're going through with a lot of stuff, but, you know, change it to whatever.
Okay, so this is actually a story that I came across when I was, it was right when the lockdown started for the COVID-19, and I believe this takes place in England, I believe. So there's this guy named Adam Ellis, and he's essentially moved into a new complex.
Can you say that
and
one more time?
Each night, the name.
Yeah.
Adam Ellis, E L L I S. Now the interesting thing about this story is you can actually Google it, and you can look at his Twitter feed, and you can follow this story as he uploads pictures and talks about what's happening and everything. I guess that's the most interesting thing about this. But so he moved into a new place in England, and he essentially starts to be visited by this ghost named David. So for those of you who are listening to this, if you want to look up the story, just type in Dear David, and you should be able to pull up the storyline. But so essentially it starts off as a dream. And, you know, it's Adam wakes up and there's this, I think maybe he's 6 or 7 years old, and he's sitting right in front of his bed. And each time he gets closer and closer to Adam, and Adam always wakes up, and, you know, he wakes up in a cold sweat, screaming and stuff, and he has to remember that he's asleep. And eventually it starts to cross over into real life, and Adam realizes that he's not sleeping anymore. And a couple months later, a unit above him opens up that's bigger and nicer, so he decides to move. And he goes to the upstairs floor, and essentially everything goes back to normal for a while, and then his cats start acting funny. So that dream happened every night at midnight. So now, like, his cats start going to his front door at midnight, and you can look at his Twitter post, and he posts pictures of his cats at the door at midnight. He even has a picture of, he's looking out his peephole, and it looks like there's a shadow crouched right at the base of his stairs, where, like, you were going up the stairs, you take a right, and you walk straight, his door is right there, and it looks like there's, like, a little kid, like, huddled down there. So it's almost like David comes up to the unit that he moved to and followed him in there. And, like, a couple months later, everything starts happening again. And eventually it gets to the point where Adam actually starts talking to the kid, and one of the things that he notices about the kid is he has, like, this deformed head, like something fell on him. Like, he refers to it as a dented head. And he asks him what happened, and he says, you know, is that how you died? And he says, yeah, he said, you know, a bookshelf fell on me.
Was it like so he,
I don't know, but he actually asks, you know, he asked him, he's like, you know, did someone kill you or something, you know? And one thing that I did forget to mention, back when he was dreaming, Adam dreamt that he was in a library, and a girl approached him and said, you seem Dear David, haven't you? So that's where the name comes from, because this girl referred to this little kid in Adam's dream as Dear David.
Hmm.
So it gets to the point where, like, you know, and Adam has, there's a little bit of stuff that I'm skipping over, but Adam, like, he videotapes stuff, he photographs stuff, and, like, he would photograph stuff moving in his apartment, and eventually he just puts a camera in his bedroom, and, I forget how many pictures he said he took one night. It was, I want to say it was like over a couple hundred or something. But eventually it captures like this little boy sitting in front of Adam's bed. And Adam is sleeping. And one of the pictures, one night Adam feels something fall on top of him, fall on his chest. And it takes the breath out of him and it wakes him up and everything. And the camera actually caught this figure falling on Adam, well, it looks like David.
That's weird.
And probably the best picture though is a close up of David's head, and you can actually see like dent in his head. So, and it looks like most of these are from the latter part of 2017. So this is fairly recent, and I guess a movie was made out of this, and you know, so it's I don't know. It's interesting that it's so recent and it's so well documented, because in his Twitter feed you can look up the videos of his apartment. There's, you know, different things moving in his apartment, you know, and don't know. It's interesting.
That's cool. I started like googling it while you were telling that story, and I saw like a deer-related movie, and I didn't know if that was what it was, but it sounds kind of cool. I mean, I'm always down for a cool ghost story, even though that freaks me out because I believe in that stuff. So I'll have to check that out.
Yep. And Adam actually refers to him as Moby Dickhead because his head is abnormally large, and it's got like this dent. I'm on a website called Bustle, and it's got pictures of his Twitter feed and everything, and like there are probably half a dozen of these pictures of David. Like, you know, some of them are grayed out, some of them are fairly bright, and some of them he's almost transparent almost. I don't know, it's really weird. It's not like a doll. It's not like you put a doll up somewhere and took pictures of it. Like, you can almost see through him. I don't know, it's really weird. I was trying to figure out, you know, is this guy just, does he want attention? Is it, you know, is that why he's doing this? But, I don't know, it's kind of creepy.
I think that's a hard part in a lot of these stories, is that I think our first, especially people that don't believe in ghosts, but I think even those of us that do, I think our first instinct is to be like, oh, that person's just making it up and wants the attention. Like, I think even the story that was based on The Conjuring 2, the Enfield ghost, there's still a lot of people that think the little girls that were involved in that were just making it up for the attention in one of the story kind of things. So, oh, that sounds cool, though. I like to read it and just, you know, figure out what's going on with what I think. So, that was pretty good. Heck yeah. All right, on to our main event. I was first up on the movie selection this time, so I wrestled back and forth. I've got a decent-sized list I want to show these guys, but for some reason when I was at work the day before, Tremors 2 had popped in my head because I had showed them Tremors quite a bit ago, and I wasn't sure if I'd ever show the sequels. Not that they're not good, but I just didn't want to kind of go down into, you know, showing a bunch of series right back-to-back, but I ended up picking Tremors 2, and it picks up not super long after the first one. It was called Tremors 2 Aftershocks, and it was 1996, so that's why we put that year in horror, but essentially, it has the character of Earl from the first Tremors, and he is basically not retired, but he's resigned to like a white life in a trailer by himself, and he has spent all of his Tremors money and his fortune on an ostrich farm, which turns out to be a terrible investment. And we learn that Val, who was played by Kevin Bacon, basically isn't a sequel, and we find out that he basically ran off with a girl that he fell for the first one, and you know, he's not down for a grab or something anymore. So basically this is about an oil field in Mexico is starting to find some workers dead, and so they're the graboid infestation is in the oil field in Mexico, and they basically come to Earl and want to pay him $50,000 for every graboid that he kills. Obviously, he's not too enthused at first, but the more he thinks about the money and how he, you know, blew the rest of it, he just decides to finally go and do it. So that's what ends up happening. So he ends up pulling Bert from the first movie, the gun nut, in, and those two are given a bunch of cool weapons from the Mexican army, and basically they go down to Mexico and fight some graboids. And at first they're very successful, and you know, they're making money hand over fist and blowing these things out of the water because they know, you know, how to hunt them and how to deal with them. But just like in the first movie, the graboids are smart and they start to evolve, and they eventually start to kind of die, and then out of them comes smaller little graboids, but they're blind and they have legs, and they run around, and basically they're like the predator, and they can sense heat, so they'll attack anything that has a heat signature, and anything they eat, they'll eat snacks, they eat whatever, and they start to multiply, and so it's kind of hijinks from there. But this one was a lot of fun. I talked to TJ about it off air a little bit, and Tremors had its fair share of comedy in it, but I think in Tremors 2 and in subsequent entries in the series, you definitely lean more toward the comedy style, especially with Bert. Bert's hilarious and kind of becomes like a caricature and like a gun nut. And this is just a lot of fun. That's why I want to show it to them, because I just felt like it's a good time. They'll enjoy it. It's not, you know, super thinky or heavy or anything. So I thought it was a good time. So if you guys want to go ahead and start to give your opinion.
So I thought I had seen Tremors 2, but as we continue to watch it, I decided that I hadn't, because I don't remember them, like, transforming into the smaller Graboids. I enjoyed it. I would say that I liked the first one better than the second one. The first one just seemed to have a better storyline. It's kind of comical that they have, you know, they basically have their shit together. They're hunting them, and they're, you know, kicking some ass, and then turns around and they just turn the situation completely around on them and start going after them, and it's basically just like all the way back to the first one again. They're on the buildings, you're trying to hide from them. I mean, like Brent said, it's a fun movie. It's not a super serious movie, so I mean, you know, it's I think Brent said the budget for this one was like 4 or 5 million.
Yeah, for me.
So, you know, it's not a major production or anything, but I mean, the acting is pretty good. The storyline is believable, and it's you know, it's something that I enjoyed. I would have no problem watching it again. I liked it.
Well, TJ brought up a good point, because RJ had asked me in the beginning about the budget, and I was like, oh, I don't know, I'll check it out. Well, the budget for the first Tremors was $11 million, and this one was $4 million. And TJ had a really good point that was kind of surprising to us, because usually, if the first movie's a decent success, which, I mean, I know Tremors is like a classic now, so maybe it wasn't a crazy big success at first, but I would have thought they would have put a lot more of a budget into the sequel, especially, you know, as many as they ended up making, but surprisingly they didn't, but they hoped to make them, and something must be going right.
Well, it's just weird, because, like, everything is about money, so they wouldn't make a sequel unless they felt like they made enough. So I'm like,
yeah.
Why make a sequel and then have, like, such a lower budget? I don't know what their plan was, but...
Yeah. I mean, well, so it says, I'm reading something that says, the film was originally planned to be filmed in Australia on a $17 million budget, and they wanted Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire to return, but Reba declined. She's actually in the world tour for music at that point, and Kevin Bacon actually turned it down because he made Apollo 13. So I guess they said due to the lack of star power and the box office performance for Tremors 1 wasn't amazing, they basically decided like the distribution and promotional costs for theater would be too high. So they almost canceled it entirely. You know, they lost some of the actors and some of the effects on, like, I guess, either agreed to work for free or lower their rate. I think that's kind of cool because, you know, obviously they wanted to be like this giant sequel with everybody, and I originally had thought that Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire were too, like, cool for it, too big for it, but that was interesting to me that they both were interested in it, but, you know, Reba had a tour and Kevin Bacon just did something else, so that's why I was scared about it, but so that makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Reba McEntire was in the first one. Like I said, I watched this when I was, you know, like 10 or 12 years old, and I remember Kevin Bacon being in it, but I do not remember Reba McEntire. Maybe I didn't realize who she was, but as soon as I started watching it during movie night, I was like, holy shit, that's Reba McEntire.
Yes, so TJ, this is the first time I watched you as well, so what did you think about it?
I have fun with it. I don't remember, I want to rewatch the first one before I say this, but I almost feel like I liked it more than the first one. I liked how they, like, had the, evolved forms on land. It made it more difficult because they had already mastered how to, kill the Graboids. And the beginning of the movie, they're just, like, taking them out, like, so quickly and easily, especially when Bert shows up. So it was cool to see another, like, evolved form of, like, the monsters. I think what I liked more about this was just Bert. Like, he got, like, more time to shine, and like he was a lot funnier, and I just had a good time with like that character. I actually liked I don't know his name, but the one brother that's in the second one that's not Kevin Bacon,
Earl?
Yeah, I liked him. I liked that he got, like, a chance to shine on his own. Because in the first movie, there was, like, so many characters. So, like, they were all kind of... I don't even know if you can say there's really a main character in the first one, because it felt like they're all kind of doing the same stuff. But I felt like it was cool to give Bert time to shine and... Or wait, did I say that right? What's...
Earl,
yeah, Earl. Because Bert... I mean, Bert was hilarious, too, but, yeah, I don't know, it was a lot of fun. The one taxi driver guy, like, he was a little, like, over the top in his acting and kind of stupid, but, overall, I feel like I liked the whole crew. Like, that one part was pretty funny and cheesy where she was like, I used to be a centerfold Playboy model, and he's like, November 1974? Or no, October 1974? And I'm just like, oh my god, that's cheesy, but I don't know, it fits with the movie, so... But
well, you have to explain a little bit. There's a he keeps a poster of her in his mobile home or whatever it is on his ostrich farm, and he basically refers to her as like, you know, you have to be realistic in life. There's just some things that you're never gonna have, and they look at her picture. They don't realize it's her at the time, so it's, you know, it's like a, you know, comical relief at the end.
Yeah, it was so cheesy, but it was fun, and you feel good for Earl because. You know, TJ brought up a good point. I don't think, if there were main characters in the first one, I think it was Val and Earl, which are Kevin Bacon, and I forget the guy who plays Earl. But they were kind of the main two, but it was really about the town itself. Mm-hmm. You know, and Bert and Heather were there too, so it was kind of like an ensemble main character. Yeah. Whereas Earl definitely had the time to shine, and, you know, and he's hilarious in the first one, but I think you really get to see his comedy and his fun in this one. He really does shine. And obviously Bert becomes the main character because, a little bit of a spoiler, Bert is the main character in the rest of the series. And so they had to push him out, and he runs with it. Bert's amazing. I mean, he's kicks ass, but he's also funny at the same time.
It makes sense that he's the main character for the series, I think, because, like, he's, like, the guy that's perfect for that, like, profession. Like, he's the, like, I'm gonna have a, what are they called, bunker for the end of the world, and I know how to hunt everything. I've got every weapon known to man. Like, he's just, like, perfect. Like, redneck, like, lives out in the desert, like...
Well, he enjoys it, and like you said, he like chooses that lifestyle, whereas, like, I think Val and Earl and the rest are, like, reluctant heroes, and, like, we'll do it because we have to, but Bert's, like, gung-ho, like, he's a killing machine that loves to do it, so you're right, man. He's a, like, protagonist to carry the rest of the series, but I really like it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I honestly feel like another reason why I like the second one better is because by the second movie, I feel like they kind of know what they are, like, the people who made the movie know what the series is, and they, like, they're just gonna go for it. And, like, in the first one, I don't know if they were, like, they're kind of being serious, kind of being goofy, but I don't know. The second one, they're just like, let's just be full on ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they were honestly hoping for, like, a summer blockbuster, like, a major hit with the first one, and obviously, you know, as I said a little earlier, it didn't hit as much. Like, I'm pretty sure the budget was, like, either $11 million or $15 million for the first one, and it made, like, $20 million. Like, it made barely over what the budget was. So, I don't think it was as big of a hit as they thought and hoped. So, I think they finally were like, fuck it, we'll just lean into what it is. And it's just fun.
It's probably best that that's what happened, though. Because it got what it needed. I mean, the cult following, those are the types of people that are going to see those movies. And then they don't got to waste the money to, like, try to market it and put it out in the theater to a crowd and audience that's not going to care or be interested.
Yeah, and it's still going. I mean, I've got that box set of all of them. I'm pretty sure they've made at least one more after the ones I have. I mean, so they're only like 7 or 8 at this point. And I've seen a good chunk, and I've not liked one of them. It's just, it's a fun series. So, I definitely would recommend it. It's a good time. I mean, it's just the comedy with Bert and stuff, and he ends up having his MREs and the monsters eat them, and then they end up, like, reproducing even more, and he's like, what's all it means?
I think one of my favorite parts was, like, at the end when Earl, like, set off, he started the bomb, and he's just like, which one? And he's like, I don't know, and He's like, let's go! And then he's like, takes off running, and they're like, they all run, and then they stop, and he goes, no, keep running! And like, they keep like trying to stop, and he's like, no, keep running! Because he's like, it's gonna be big! I just thought that was funny, because they just didn't understand, and he's just like, he's the expert of all that stuff, and it was just
funny.
Well, like you said earlier, we actually get to, we get to appreciate him more in this one.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, when he doesn't have Heather, like, he doesn't have Reba McIntyre, who leaves him in this one, and so, you know, he's like a man that's broken, and he needs this, like, that's his purpose, like, kill these graboids, like, keep him busy, and, yeah, he just, he shines. Bert is my favorite character of the series, and, he really stepped out in this one, and he just keeps going in the other one, but, I can't recommend the series enough. It's one of my favorites. I saw Tremors, early on as a kid, because it's not... It's not super scary, it's not super gory. I mean, I think it's as close to like a family-friendly, big Hollywood horror movie you can get. And I think I even spoke to the fact in our review of the first episode, there was a lot more cuss words in the script, but they wanted to try and make it more family-friendly, so they took a lot out. So like Val and Earl will say a lot of like goofy stuff that like are like, they're cussing, but they're not, and that was, like, they rewrote that and reshot it on purpose because they wanted to make it more family-friendly, so I think it's something you could show kids, and they're not going to get scared of these giant worms in the ground, so I love it. This one is, the first one still is my favorite, but this one is close behind it. I enjoyed it a lot, so.
What do you think, what was those meal packs that he had? What was in those?
Dude, they have, like, toilet paper, they've got, like, a dessert, they've got, like, a three-course meal, they've got, like, all kinds of stuff. I don't want to try an MRE. I've got a couple, like, in my survival bag of, like, freeze-dried ice cream sandwiches, which I'm sure are just real disgusting. they have a shelf life, but what I plan on doing is around the time they're going to expire, I'm going to eat them and just see, like, how bad they are. So, I'll have to let you guys know. I'm sure that they're going to be really terrible.
You should take one to Horrorhound sometime.
Yeah, I've got those. I have, like, a mashed potato thing. Like, and it's all freeze-dried stuff. So,
do you have enough where you could spare one? I'll try one next time at movie night.
I'll have to check. If not, we can just eat it together because I'm sure we're not
going to... We can do it live on air. They can get a reaction.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
We should have done that. For the pod tonight.
Yeah.
I'll fish him out of my survival bag. I've got a few different things.
We can all three share one. We won't have to waste them.
I don't think that we're going to want our own. I'm sure they're pretty bad. So, when you guys come over for June, I'll have to pull those
all
out.
Right.
If I didn't use them for this, I don't think I'm going to get actual use out of them. So, we can just try them out.
That could be one of our first like parts of the podcast next time.
Yeah, try and Brent's MREs that are going to be horrible.
Hey, if they listen to this episode, they'll remember.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good like teaser for the next one.
Yep.
We may end up going to the hospital next year, but we'll find out.
We're going to have to block out some dry heaving time.
That's true. Anyway, I'm ready to rate this thing if you guys are.
Sure. You go first since it's your movie.
Yeah, I gave this a 3.5 out of 5. I don't remember exactly what I gave the first Tremors, but I think it was at least a 4.
I'll check for you.
Okay. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. This is a really good sequel that I think it expands upon the universe of the first and still gives you a lot of what we liked from the first one. So,
you gave the first one a 4.5.
Okay. Yeah, that feels about right.
All right, cool.
Okay, I'll go next. I give this one a 3. It was, you know, I like the first one better. I want to say I gave the first one a 3.5. Is that right, TJ?
A 3.
Oh, I gave that one a 3, too?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm going to give this one at least a 3, so. Okay. But, I mean, I like both of them. I thought I would have rated the first one higher, though.
I mean, we could always, if you ever feel like you need to switch, we could always amend later. I'm also giving this a 3.5. I gave the first one a 3, and I think I do like this one slightly more. Again, like we said before, this is something that could change in a rewatch, but for now, I'm going to stick with a 3.5.
Well, and I kind of briefly teased it when we did movie night the other night, but I wanted to touch on this too. And I think, you know, as far as ratings go, I think it's tough, and we're in a tough position to do this because, as I had mentioned before, when I first watched Return of the Living Dead back in the day, I really liked it. It was fun. It was a good time. But I don't think I ever would have put it among, like, my, like, top horror movies, like, my mecca of, like, horror movies. Fast forward to now, and I've got a poster with, you know, most of the living cast autographs on it. I've got an out-of-print toy from the movie. Like, that's one of my favorite movies. So I think these ratings are tough because, you know, when we do this, we, like, block this thing, and it's, like, it's on air forever, you know, it's in the spreadsheet, and it's like we're locked into that opinion. But I know these guys have both experienced. Like, when I showed Lost Boys to RJ, I don't think you thought it was anything special that first viewing. I thought you thought it was okay. And now it's become, I mean, I'm going to say maybe one of your favorite movies. I know you really like it. And
I would say it's one of my favorite movies.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of times, like, when we get these ratings, they're just, like, off the cuff. Like, you've got, like, you just finished it. What did you think of it? You know, and a lot of times these things can change on a rewatch for better or worse. But I think there are a lot of movies that once you let them marinate, I think you can really change your opinion on it. And I don't know. So it's just, that's what's fun about it. This is just our first initial reaction of it. And sometimes they get better, sometimes they get worse. But, you know, I don't know. And it's just tough to rate things sometimes, I think, in my opinion.
All right, RJ, you're up.
All right, so I picked The Invisible Man, which came out this year, for my movie of the month. I was really excited to bring this. That was actually kind of like a little surprise for Brent and TJ. But you know, I'm a big Universal Monsters fan, and I was very pleased with how well done this movie was. It's suspenseful. It has great acting. I would actually say phenomenal acting. All the main cast, it has a very good plot line. It's essentially, it takes its own twist. So I compare this to the original Invisible Man from the 30s and then the Hollow Man. And, you know, it takes from both, but it also adds its own twist. One interesting thing, so this movie only had a budget of $7 million. And it made over $126 million. And it actually got cut short because it was still in theaters when the COVID-19 started. So it possibly could have made even more money. But, I mean, with a budget of $7 million, that's pretty impressive. But, essentially, some of the main differences between this one and the 1930s version, essentially, instead of it being a chemical solution that makes him invisible, it's more of a, it's basically a suit with the technology to, I don't, TJ, how would you describe that suit that he had?
I don't know.
basically, it uses light to basically make him invisible. But, you know, in all the other horror movies, whether it was the Hollow Man or the Invisible Man, you know, basically whatever made him invisible affects his mind. In the movie, Griffin, who they actually kept the original storyline from, he's always been like this, though. He's basically his girlfriend who runs away, and the whole point of the movie is, like, he's trying to get her back. You know, he's controlling, he's a narcissist, he's, you know, he already has all of these qualities. So, him being invisible doesn't change him at all. Which I you know, was one of the interesting things that they did on their own spin on this. And this movie actually almost did not happen. In 2017, they released a remake of The Mummy with Tom Cruise in it, which I did not see, and I probably will never watch because it just sounds so god awful. But after, you know, the financial failure from that movie, this was basically kind of put on a shelf, and it came close to not happening because of, you know, what happened. But hopefully, after the very positive
review it got after it was released. It'll help jumpstart a couple other Universal remakes I've been waiting for, especially like the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys saw, but they're actually going ahead with a Wolfman remake with Ryan Gosling. That's been greenlit.
I just saw it today. But I do want to point a comment out really quick. So what RJ was talking about with the Mummy, that originally the plans were that Johnny Depp was supposed to play the Invisible Man, and they were starting like a shared universe, kind of like what Marvel does, but that's what got scrapped. So I think this one that we watched is something separate.
Okay.
So I think, but I think since it is doing well, like what Brent was saying, they probably will start making more remakes, but it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be like a big, like, shared universe, like what they were going to do, which I think is, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that'd be kind of stupid. Like, not everything needs a shared universe, but.
I think it's done fun, but I think it would be hard to pull that off with monsters, like, because it's easy with, like, the Avengers and like, it's not really because they're good guys and fighting a common cause, but, like, the Wolfman, those guys never really acted with each other besides Wolfman and Frankenstein, but, like, I think the concept is cool, but could they pull it off? Probably not. So, maybe it's better this way to just make them more individual movies, so.
See, and they just made a Wolfman remake 10 years ago. And, I mean, that movie got shit on a lot, but, I liked it. I think it could have used a couple more million in its budget just for, like, better costumes and better, you know, makeup and stuff like that. But I liked it. What was that?
Did that make your best of the decade list?
Yeah, it did.
I will say, though, like, I think it would be cool if they did a remake of Wolfman and it was, like, a modern take, not something that takes place back in, like, the 1800s.
With Ryan Gosling.
Say it again. You keep cutting out.
Well, I'm hoping that's what it would be with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I assume. I mean, there's no story as of yet, but that's what I would assume. It makes more sense.
Otherwise, I would agree with RJ that they shouldn't really do it, because if it's not going to be different, why make another one? But
I know, you can only twist the tale so much and retell the same story. I mean, for God's sakes, it was, 10 years ago. Just give us some time.
Well, and with the Invisible Man being modern and with the success of that, I think that, I assume that's the way they're going. I mean, I could be wrong, obviously, but that's what I would understand, so.
Well, no, and I really, like I said before, I really liked what they did with this. I didn't really know how I was going to like it, but I saw this in theaters, and it's got some oh shit moments. Like, it just,
The whole sister part at dinner surprised the shit out of me. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
But you won't spoil a ton of it because this is
new, yeah.
Probably would have still been in theaters a lot longer, so we'll keep it light on the spoilers.
I will say, go ahead. Sorry.
No,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were done. One of the parts I really like too that I think it's because of Lee Whannell, and it's because I can compare it to like Upgrade and stuff. But I thought the action shots were done really well. Like, especially the fight scene when they're in the hospital and the cops are getting taken down. Like, that was filmed really well. I liked when she was fighting him off in the kitchen at the one guy's house. So I just thought they did those really well. It didn't look corny or cheesy. I don't know. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie. And like you said, there were surprise moments, like with the sister at the restaurant. And so I love this movie.
I liked all that too, but I want to say my favorite aspect of this movie is, I can't remember what the heroine's name is in the movie. I think her real name is Elizabeth Moss.
Was June.
It? she plays the character June in The Handmaid's Tale. Like, that's like her big break in Hollywood, so that's just what I was making a joke.
Gotcha.
Cecilia, that's her name, yeah. Cecilia.
There you go.
But she, and I've known people that have been stalked like this, and like I guess I can understand the expressions that she makes. Like, she almost seems batshit crazy in the movie, but she's
acting that way, you know, borderline paranoid because she knows something is happening to her, but nobody is believing her. And I've known people that have been in the situation. So in the movie, like, there are scenes where she looks almost borderline insane. And just that look, like, you know, I really have to give her props. Like, she was probably my favorite character in this movie. She nailed that role. She really did.
Yeah.
It would not be the same movie. It would not be the same movie without her.
Were the people that you know that have been stalked, were they stalked by an invisible man?
No, actually, it was someone pretty close to me, and, like, it was her boyfriend, and he didn't live very far from her, and he was, like, sneaking in their house, like, he was, he had cameras in the house, he had, like, devices on her car to follow, so he knew where she was at all times, and, you know, he would show up wherever she was. It was just, it's really what this movie reminded me of.
I mean,
Mrs. Wiener.
What's that?
Nothing, I was just fucking around with you.
I was just gonna say, like, without getting too political, like, it's a good commentary on, like, how things are in real life. Like, there's a lot of women out there who are, like, abused and assaulted, and, like, people don't believe them, so, like, or they think they're being crazy, and so I do like that part of it, like, as well. It just goes to show that, like, that's how it is for some people in real life.
Well, and as we were watching it, EJ brought up a good point. There's a movie called Unsane that was actually shot on an iPhone entirely, and it's essentially, like, you know, a woman is saying that this guy is stalking her and nobody believes her, and the whole movie you're wondering, is he crazy or is he really her? And TJ kind of compared that to this, and that's a good comparison, and that's a really good movie, and spoiler, this is a good movie as well. It was cool. Like, I liked the plot point of where, what was the guy's name?
Say it again?
What was the invisible man's name?
Adrian.
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian, okay. I like that, you know, Adrian, you know, we think died, and he leaves Cecilia $5 million and pretty much says, like, you know, oh, it's yours, like, you'll get monthly installments as long as you stay out of trouble and blah, blah, blah. And so, like, she's like, oh, great, you know, my stalker's dead, and now I get $5 million, so her life's great. And then what's crazy is he ends up, you know, basically, like, ruining her life step by step and turning everybody that she cares about against her, and it's like, her life goes from this, like, great high to, like, just a dumpster low, and it was just cool to see him, like, systematically just break her life down. Like, and then again, everybody thinks she's crazy, and who the fuck wouldn't? Like, go ahead and punch you, the invisible man, you can't see, did, like, and, like, that's, yeah, like, textbook neediness, you know? So it was like, realistic of that.
It was all about control, even, like, she said that from the start, like, he knew she was pregnant, and, like, he did all of that, and then he got her to the point where she had nothing to lose, and he was like, listen, you can have, we can make this all go away, just have the baby. And it's like, you fucking piece of shit, like, you're still controlling me while you're, air quotes, dead, like.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a master at it, and it was, I mean, it was just neat, like, the thing is, it was, I think you could sympathize with all the side characters and her friends and stuff, like, I want to believe you, but you're saying all these bad things that happened, like, oh, the invisible guy did it, like, you know, like, in, when, like, TJ had mentioned, like, when she was in the psych ward and all the same things she was saying, like, she was making it worse on herself because she was sounding crazy, and, like, obviously, as the audience, we know that she's not, but you can see how everybody in her life would be like, you're batshit fucking crazy, you know, so it was really well done. I really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised, you know, because I heard a lot of good things about this, and I was surprised to hear such good reviews, and it didn't disappoint me at all. I really liked it. And of course, like RJ said, Elizabeth Moss is a great actress, and if you've seen Handmaid's Tale, you know, she's a very familiar face to you, and
yep.
She always kills it. She's a very, very good actress.
It's funny because she's a similar character in Handmaid's Tale, so.
Yeah, she plays a good, like, beaten-down heroine, I think, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, the effects were good, the acting was good, I really enjoyed this, and I was very glad you brought it.
Well, and one thing I really liked about it is, I don't know if either of you noticed it, but I did not notice it the first time when I saw it in theaters, but I did notice it when we rewatched it. When, in the beginning, when she's escaping from his house, it actually shows the suit. Like, it's invisible, you know, because she hasn't turned it on yet. but I don't know if you guys picked that up, where she's trying to escape. She looks, and you see that same room with the, it's almost, I don't even know how to explain it.
It's like
yeah. Yeah, and the, you know, the suit, you can't see it because it's turned on, but, like, you can see where it is. And then when she goes back down there to get it, then you realize what you were looking at in the beginning of the movie. So this movie just has a lot of, like, you know, pieces that connect throughout the movie, which is another aspect that I really like.
I picked up on that, and I assumed it was a suit. I figured that they would go that route instead of trying to go, like, the original route with, like, a potion or a chemical. Like, it just made sense, you know. So it was cool, though. It was good. And she had, you know, she had a good arc, and she kicked some butt in it. So, no, I really liked it. I was glad you brought it, for sure. Are we ready to rate it? And what's your opinion about it?
DJ?
What?
Do you have anything to add, or do you want to rate it?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of it. I'm ready to rate. We'll start with you, since it was your movie.
You want to go first?
No, usually we start with who was movie.
I was trying to, you know, nitpick about this movie, like, what can I knock about it? And aside from, like maybe one or two very small, stupid things, I really can't come up with a reason why I couldn't give this a 5. Whether it's the storyline or the acting, you know, it's all around, it's just a good, suspenseful movie. And I've been trying to sit here and give a reason why I couldn't give it a 5, but I can't come up with anything.
So you gave it 5?
Yeah.
Alright, when I left the theater, I gave it a 4, and I think it's on its way to be higher. I'm going to buy it, and I'm probably going to revisit it quite often, but I'm going to stick with a 4 for now because it's so new, and kind of let the test of time to see if I want to raise my score. But I feel like it's on its way to being like a 4.5 for me, but I'm sticking with a 4 for now.
First time watching it, it was a 4. I really liked it. It was one that, to go with mine and like TJ's, like, critique, I mean, it was one that I think everybody should check out for sure. So I really liked it.
Cool. That's really good score from all of us.
Yeah, about 3 comes way up. Check it out.
All right, and then I was last this month. I wanted to show them the movie The Final Girls when we were doing, when it was streaming on Tubi at one point, and they took it off, so I was finally able to get back to this one. So I picked the movie The Final Girls. It came out in 2015. It's a horror comedy. It's essentially about this young girl who's in high school. Her mom was an actress in the 80s, and she starred in a... it's called Camp Bloodbath, but it's essentially like a Friday the 13th movie. And her mom was kind of known for that, and was trying to break that mold and become a movie star, but never did. And her mom dies at the beginning of the movie in a car accident. So the movie flashed forward 3 years later, and she's invited to a screening of Camp Bloodbath for an anniversary. And they want her to speak on her mom's behalf. And she decides to do it because the guy who's running it offers to, like, do her homework for her so she can pass a class at school. Essentially, they go to the movie premiere, and there's a fire, and her group of friends kind of make their way to the front of the theater to escape, and they go through the screen, and they find themselves inside the movie, and so the rest of the movie plays out with them trying to figure out how to get back to reality, and yeah, I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. It's a horror comedy. You can tell it was made by people who are fans of the slasher subgenre, and that's pretty much the best synopsis I could give. It was kind of longer, but...
No, it was good. This was the first time I watched for me, and it was interesting because, like I told TJ out there, it kind of reminded me of Cabin in the Woods, only from the aspect of, like, you think you know the premise, and then it gets, like, dumped on its head kind of early on in the film. Like, when he described this, I basically just assumed it was, like, you know, a horror comedy slasher, but I thought that it would be like a typical slasher. I had no idea that it would involve, like, I mean, I guess, like, time travel, if you call it, or, like, another dimension, or whatever it is. It was an interesting surprise for me, but I liked it. I enjoyed the fact of, like, the character from real life interacting with the characters from the movie, and obviously the characters from the movie are all funny because they're all typical, stupid, like, 80s slasher movie cliche. Like, you have a dumb jock, you have a swanky girl, like, you know, you have, like, the shy girl with her guitar and a clipboard, like they say in that movie bunch, and, like, you know, all the little stereotypes represented. And, so it's fun to see those two worlds interact, and, you know, the real life characters had knew what was happening in the movie, so they were trying to prevent the characters in the movie from doing stupid shit, and, you know, hilarity obviously ensues. One thing I wish that they would have, in the ending, like, told us what happened, like, with the fire. Like, were they dead in the fire? Were they, like, in the hospital dreaming? Like, you know, I mean, there's no sequel to this, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it just isn't a bad thing. I guess I wish we would have found out, like, you know, are they all dead? Is the dream? Are they in comas from the smoke inhalation or the fire? Like, we really don't ever get closure on the main plot, which is, like, I wish we had a little bit. But it was fun. I mean, I liked that it pulled from, like, a lot of slasher cliches and tropes, you know, kind of helped it with that way. I will say I didn't like the killer's mask at all. It kind of reminded me of, like, the little stone things you'd see in Mario, a little bit the Eternal Woods.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah.
Ooh, everyone, like, come up and down. Like, I don't know, yeah. I wish that he had been, like, his mask had been scarier. I know they say he made it himself or whatever, but I wish that it had been, like, a bit scarier. But I guess that, you know, coming up with
that's the point, though. It's not supposed to be, like, you know, Jason scary. Like, it's supposed to be, like, I honestly don't think you're supposed to take him seriously.
You're right. It's a good point. It's me nitpicking. I just wish that his mask was, like, a little scarier, or not, like, and I guess I didn't take him really seriously because of that, but, and maybe that was the point, you know, I could have been missing the point totally, but you're right. It could be that.
Okay, well, I guess I'll cut in now. I enjoyed this movie. I was glad TJ brought it. It's definitely, like both of them mentioned, it's a different take on it. And if you like slasher films, you'll appreciate it on how they approach it. One scene that I really liked was the movie theater scene. It's kind of funny how the fire all started and everything. And essentially how they end up, like, almost time traveling is they end up cutting a hole through the screen, yeah, and, like, climbing through, and when they do that, they actually enter the movie, it's got several really cool aspects, like, you know, the main girl's mom had just died, and, you know, her mom was the main actor in the movie, or actress, and so when she goes back in time, she actually gets to revisit her mom. And, you know, there's one scene where she's actually scolding her mom, like her mom would scold her when she was younger. So it's got a lot of, you know, good back and forth. Got a really good plot line.
It's got some parts in it, like mom and daughter relationship. I think that was the heart of the story, no pun intended, is, like, you know, the daughter getting to see, like, you know, a version of her mom, essentially, and getting almost closure, I think, with her dead mom, and that was cool. And obviously, like, Adam Devine is in this, and if you've seen, like, Workaholics or Pitch Perfect or whatever, you don't know who he is. He's hilarious. He just plays the dumb jock, like, Gucci. He really made it funny, and his death was hilarious, too, so that's good.
Well, that's one thing I really like about this movie, is that it's comical, but it's got serious aspects to it, which I think is a really good one.
So what I like, too, that they weren't stupid. Like, even, I don't know his name in the movie, but the love interest of the main girl, like, he was, like, a good-looking, like, big, muscular jock, but he wasn't stupid. more than a character, like, and he ends up, like, making it work at the end, like, and, you know, he just, like, they all tried to do stuff that wasn't stupid, like, even though they were in a horror movie, they tried to avoid most, like, typical stupid horror tropes, like, they tried to kick at my back, and that was a cool movie, and I enjoyed it.
Even the one girl that was, like, the ex-girlfriend to the guy you're talking about, like, they made it seem like her whole role in the movie was going to be, like, to win him back. But then in the end, it was more about her, like making her friendship with the other two girls, like, better. Because she used to be friends with them, and then, like, they had a falling out, and she was kind of, like, the popular bitch. And you know what I mean? Like, so, like, that was, like, her, like, resolution in the end was, like, she made amends with them before she died in the movie.
It was, like, finding herself and forgetting for herself, yeah.
I like that better than her, like, trying to make a love triangle with, like, the main girl.
Well, and I think that was a good switch, and probably on purpose, was that they led you to believe that, but then she actually was, like, an important person in the dark, and so that was a nice change for sure.
Right.
Yep. Did you guys like the ending?
What?
Did you guys like the ending?
I do. I think it's funny because all those, like, movies like that have, like, tons of sequels. And it was just kind of, like, I thought it was funny because it was, like, almost like a Halloween 2 type thing. Like, they're in the hospital and the killer was coming after them. And it was kind of funny, too, because they were just like, oh, you know, we're done. We made it out of the movie. And he's like, oh, wait, I forgot there was a sequel. And then, like, they were in the sequel. So, like, I like it because, to me, this isn't really, like, it is horror, but it's not. Like, it's more about, like, the comedy and the drama, like RJ said, like, with the mom and daughter storyline. So I feel like that was hitting more on the comedy aspect of it and making like, kind of spoofing, like, that genre.
Yeah, the horror is more of a backdrop in this, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, it plays it well, and it knows it will for sure.
Right, like, it's for horror fans, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily, like, a full-on horror movie.
No, I agree with that. And I liked the movie theater scene as well, because, like, I was telling these guys, like, Troll 2 is a movie that I'm going to show them possibly next, and, like, it was a piece of shit. It's one of the worst movies ever made, but it's, like, one of the best worst movies ever made, and people, like, love it. Now it's, like, a cult classic, and people have, like, Troll 2 watch parties and Troll 2 conventions, and it's, like, that's what the whole Camp Bloodbath was, and it was, like, all these major fans of this franchise were getting together at this small theater to, like, love it and have a Q&A and enjoy it. So that very much reminded me of, like, the whole Troll 2 thing, so I appreciated that a lot.
True. Yeah. I mean, we see those even, like, at Horror Hound. Like, they do, like we and RJ went to the screening for Lost Boys, and they did one for Scream last year, even though we didn't go. And, like, it's kind of fun. Like, I don't know. That's where we would be, those people that were at that screening.
Well, I think let's take about 20 minutes to talk about the screening of Lost Boys again. Like, how awesome
that is. Rub it in Brent's face for missing it.
But you rub it in when you meet most of those motherfuckers, so you kiss my ass. I think it'd be fun next time we go, if they do that in Indy again, if it's, like, a major feature, to go to it, because I think that viewing experience is much different than seeing a movie in theaters regularly, because anybody that's going to pay to see this is, like, a real fan, like, and take it super serious and really enjoy it. I think that's such a special viewing experience. I've never even been a part of that, but I can only imagine that it's a special viewing experience. And, you know,
well, there was a lot of people there too. I don't remember that many seats being empty. Do you, TJ?
No, and it was a really big theater. It was like an IMAX, and there was a lot of seats.
Man, like, I would, honestly, all jokes aside, I would kill to be able to see Lost Boys on the big screen.
I'm pretty sure me and RJ had to buy our tickets, like, that morning. We bought them that morning, and, like, we barely got, and we were towards the front, so we got lucky, but yeah. We probably didn't wait until we got there, because.
And, like, you had seen, you saw Return of the Living Dead on the big screen.
Yeah, me and Todd,
yeah. I mean, I don't know, I would love to be a part of that sooner than later, because I just think that's a special viewing experience, and I've never been able to do it, so that's a time I rest for sure.
I remember,
so,
like, 4 years ago.
Well, you could have been.
Like, 4 years ago, I did go see Halloween on the big screen, too, at, like, the theater in Mason.
They were screening
it. I didn't know you guys then, but, like, you probably would have joined me if I had known you, but it was pretty fun, because it was the week before Halloween, so it was, like, extra special, and it was, like, an anniversary, so it was cool.
I mean, I've seen, like, classic movies like that at the drive-in, but that's not the same. Like, I just, I want to go to one of those small theaters like that and just see, like, I would love to have seen The Lost Boys or Return or Halloween on, like, a big screen with a ton of, like, devoted fans, not just regular people, people that are, like, you know, huge fans of the, right. of the movie.
Right.
It may happen. I mean, one day we'll do it for sure. Like, I know that it was in Texas that they had, like, the Alamo Theater, and they do it all the time, and I'm like, damn, like, Texas is a hotbed for horror. I'm like, fucking Ohio, man. Killing us.
The theater we saw The Lost Boys in Indy was really nice, though. Like, I hope, like, next year, like, if it happens, they, like, do something like that. Because I think this year, or last year when we went, they were doing It Chapter 2 there, but we knew that since that was, like, the first weekend it was open, it was going to be packed.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, so we ended up seeing it before after, that. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all saw it together, like, pretty quick after it came out. Which I actually need to rewatch that. It's on HBO now. I need to rewatch the second one again.
I bought it because I'm like, I have the first one, and I don't want to not have, like, the complete series. So, like, I have all of them, so.
I have the first one, too. I need to just buy it, but I'm like, man, it's like 4 hours.
One Sunday, I just want to watch them both back-to-back.
That'd be cool, but that is a goddamn investment.
That's why I said a Sunday.
We're going to come out with, like, a full beard, like, what day is it? all right, do we want to go ahead and rate Final Girl?
Yeah, that works. So, when I first saw this back, and, like, when it first came out, me and Rachel rented it, and I gave it a 4. But the thing is we've watched it so many times. It's like a movie that we both watch together because she loves it. And I think it's got a lot to do with that mother-daughter, like, drama part of it that's included. But, I mean, the fact that we rewatch it so many times, I'm going to give it a 4.5 because it's just, it's to us, it's becoming a classic in our household. So, like, it's hard for me to, I can't give it a 5 yet, but maybe, like later down the road, as we keep watching it, it may become a 5, but it's a 4.5 right now.
Well, like I said earlier, ratings evolve like anything else. I mean, the more you see something, it can go higher or lower. That's a fair assessment.
Right.
I gave it a 3.5. I liked it.
What'd you say?
3.5.
Oh, I thought you said a 2.5. I'm like, didn't you just say you liked it?
That was great. It's a 2.
I will actually agree with TJ, and I'll also give it a 4.5. I really like this movie. It's a really unique blend of comedy and, you know, I don't know, it's unique. I've really never seen another movie like it. It's really, they really take their own spin on it.
I think a good part about it is, like, if you have, like, a friend or somebody who's not really big into horror, like, you can show this to them and, like, they can enjoy it as well because it's got
the perfect movie.
Yeah. Or, like, if you're, like, on a date and you, like, I don't know, for RJ, like, you can show it. I mean, if she doesn't like horror, like, she may really get into it because of the drama and comedy parts of it, but...
That's what I'm saying. There's so many different aspects about this movie that you can appreciate, whether you're a slasher horror buff or...
That's why like
a, you know, a romance or, you know, a serious movie or a comedy. It's just, it's got so many unique aspects to it. It's kind of like The Lost Boys. I mean, Lost Boys is a different take on it, but Lost Boys has comedy, it has seriousness, it has horror. You know, there's different things you can appreciate in the movie that really make you love it and appreciate for what it's worth.
I'm just out of curiosity, which one do you guys like better, this or, Leslie Vernon.
Leslie Vernon, I think, for me.
Because I showed you both of them, so that's why I'm curious, because they're both, like, comedy, like, spoofing slashers.
Yeah, I think Leslie Vernon.
I liked Leslie Vernon, too, but I want to say I like this more. Leslie Vernon was different, too, because it started off as a comedy, but then as it progresses, it becomes a horror movie. I think I made that point before, but I would say I like this a little bit more.
What's your answer, TJ?
I mean, I like the Final Girls better, but I was just curious what you guys thought, because since you both hadn't seen those, and I showed them for movie night, and we talked about them on the pod, I was just curious. And I think they're more similar than... Well, I guess Cabin in the Woods is kind of similar to this, but... I think the other two are just more focused on, like, slasher subgenre, and Cabin in the Woods is, like, everything.
Which I was going to bring that point up. I'm surprised, because RJ hated Cabin in the Woods, so I'm just surprised that... Obviously, this had more heart to it, but I'm just surprised.
But I don't think that they're that similar.
They're not, but I just like the premise of, like, you know, you think of, like, I thought it'd be a straight horror movie, and then it turns into, like, something different. I don't know. I think they're in the same realm, I guess, kind of, for me. So I was surprised with RJ like this much and hated Cabin in the Woods. But
I think Cabin in the Woods is, like, more complex. Like, I love it. You know I do. I'm not dogging it. I just think that it's probably harder to, like, catch on with some people.
Yeah, and it's more horror than, I mean, it's horror comedy, but it's more horror for sure than this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what, Brent? If TJ would have brought Cabin in the Woods, I would have liked it more.
That's
so,
legit,
you know what?
That's true. I'm not going to lie. I agree with you on that.
No, we should swap, and I'll bring one, you bring the other, and then we'll be like, surprise, motherfucker.
Let's
like,
say, TJ's was really good, and then we'll be like, actually, that was Brent's pick.
It's a piece of shit. That's what
I think by now I can tell whose movie is whose, so
can you?
But
can you?
That's a good point.
We'll put that challenge to the test next time.
Well, not next time. We're gonna wait till you forget and don't see it coming, and then we're gonna do the old switcheroo on you.
Is
and
this
see if you can
is play. This my movie? Look at the camera.
See, unlike you, Brent, I have a I wouldn't say an elephant memory, but I have a fairly good memory.
Hey,
so.
Look at the camera. Is this my movie, or did I borrow it from Brent?
Oh, I would say you borrowed you. I don't know. I know Brent probably has that, too. Oh, so
you
I'm going to say that's a trick question. I'm going to say that's a trick question, because you both have it. So
do we
I don't
now?
Have it.
Do we?
I don't. So. You failed. Well, that's going to be a fun switcheroo at some point. A few months down the road when you've totally forgotten this conversation, we'll be like, oh, here are our selections.
You know what, though? He probably would know and then make us look like stupid idiots.
Well, I can't do next time because I'm probably bringing Troll 2, and there's no question of who got that movie.
I just think it'd be funny if we did it down the road and RJ was like, it's weird because this felt like it would have been Brent's movie.
Oh, we will. We're going to talk on the side and do this and see if you can tell.
There's a giant wolf dick in this movie. It's got to be TJ.
Hey, man, you can thank me for seeing that. You're welcome. Now you can say that you've seen a giant werewolf.
Wait, Gabby, thank you for seeing that?
No, she has not seen that. I don't think she'd like it very much.
She needs to see it.
It's kind of like...
Rachel needs to see it, too.
If Todd hadn't showed us the Greasy Strangler, that would totally be what Brent would bring.
Yeah. I love the Greasy Strangler, and I'm trying to find Frankenhooker, and I can't find that shit anywhere. So.
What's that one you watch, Bubba what?
Bubba the Redneck Werewolf.
There you go. That's what I'm bringing next month.
RJ will be like, I give that a 5. It was great. I love the werewolf.
It was better than Wolf Cop for some reason. I don't know why.
The werewolf texted me really spooky. It was very artistic. Well done. Oh, shit. But yeah, you guys have any inkling of what you're bringing next month?
I was about to say, we need to get back into doing that, like naming what we're bringing the next month.
Yeah, we've been really bad about that. But honestly, it was hard because doing it virtually, we're kind of at the mercy of streaming services. So being able to do it physically, when we can do that again, we can actually pick things out. But I'm bringing Troll 2, I just decided. It's enough's enough, and I'm going to show that to you guys. So,
if I get it in time, because I'm not sure when it's going to ship, but I'm going to try to bring 13 Ghosts, because I was going to before, but since I'm getting the Blu-ray now, I'm going to bring that instead of the VHS copy. But if it's not, we haven't planned it yet, so once we plan the day, if it's not shipped by then I'll pick something else. But for right now, I'm going to plan for 13 Ghosts.
Okay. Any ideas, RJ?
Well, I mean, I feel bad because I've constantly said, like, I've switched between The Skeleton Key and Pumpkinhead. Like, I've kept saying I'm going to bring these movies, and I end up changing at the last minute. So, I think TJ has seen Skeleton Key and Brent has not.
I haven't.
Am I right?
I'm not
Brent,
saying
you
it.
Said you haven't?
I've seen it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I'm pretty sure. It's like you with Tremors, too. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I can't be 100%, but I feel like I have.
You guys keep asking about Pumpkinhead, so it's a crap movie. Like, it's kind of like Leprechaun, kind of, without the comedy. So I'll bring that for you guys. Just, I mean, I ordered it off of eBay for you guys, so I'm 100% sure bring it next time.
Do you like it?
I think I like the second one better.
Oh.
But I mean, it's an entertaining movie. I would say I don't not like it. I mean, I do like it.
I was gonna say that's all that matters. Like, who cares what we think? If you like it, like, I just want to see stuff that you like and you want to show us.
Does he have a pumpkin wiener too?
He has no wiener, actually.
Wow, what a bummer. That's probably why he's a psycho killer.
He's probably got
his name is Brent. His name is Brent because he has no wiener.
You know when you you cut the pumpkin open and pull the guts out? You know how there's like that? Isn't there like a little shaft, like phallic shaped? That's what his wiener is.
It starts to wilt with time, like,
yeah.
That's funny. Nice. Well, yeah. So there you go. So, you know, thanks for listening as always. We've gotten back to finally telling you what we're going to bring next month. So again, unless things change, you know, check those out. TJ, do you want to drop the social media stuff for anybody that hasn't remembered?
Yeah, just a reminder, you can find us on Twitter, and that's where we're probably the most active at this point. We weren't getting too much interacting on Facebook, so I kind of just focused more on the Twitter account. We do have a Google email address if you want to send in any kind of feedback, questions, if you just want to chat with us. In the past, we've had a listener send in a request, and then we watched it, and then we had him send in his opinions on the movie, and we actually played it live on air. So that's deathstereopodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send us whatever you want, and we'll read it on air, or we'll read it off air if you prefer. It's up to you. We just want to hear from you.
Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it, and catch us next time in our June movie night. And until then, keep out.
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.